Philippians chapter 2, starting with the first verse. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if there is any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy. Do you catch this? Paul is saying, hey, here's how he's saying. He's saying, hey, guys, this is really, really important. It's how he's saying it. And he's saying it poetically. Look how he says it. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's any affection and mercy. Let me interpret that. He's saying, guys, this is really, 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 really important. Watch this. Fulfill my joy being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. He's writing and he's saying, you know what, to these churches, hey guys, let me tell you what, if you got anything in you, do this. Be united together. Fulfill my joy, verse 2, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, and one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish. Everybody say selfish. Selfish. See, let me tell you why there's not unity. Because people say, you know what, this is what I want. This is what I think. How many know people, how many know other people can be opinionated? Let me try that again. How many know other people can be opinionated? How many know you can be opinionated? How many know you are opinionated? I'm not opinionated. Oh, you're not? No! I think you're opinionated that you're not opinionated. Hello? Do you catch that? No. We're all opinionated. All opinionated means you have an opinion. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Oh my goodness, what a great passage. How many would raise their hand and say, man, you got to work on that one? I'm asking. How many would raise their hand and say, you got to work on that one? Let's say it again. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you look out not only for your own interest, but the interest of others. Let this mind be you, which was also in Christ. That's when he says be in one mind, that's what he's talking about. Be like Jesus. Let this mind be in you. Let. Man, I can't do that. You listen, you do whatever you want to do. And the Bible says it's your words that are going to condemn you. Don't curse yourself. You know, if you are opinionated, if you are self-centered, if you are, you know what, those things, then let the weak say that they're strong. You know, start to use your words to correct your life. Start saying, you know, I tell you what, I'm gonna act more like Jesus today. I'm gonna be more conscious of what my husband wants. And let me tell you where this gets worked out. It gets worked out the best is in your home. Amen. How many good Christians at church? I'm just asking. Come on, you guys, y'all. You know what? Do we need to sing another song? Are you awake? How many good Christians at church? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, praise God. Amen. How many know there's some churches that they're not even good in church? Amen. Amen. I remember one time at this church, you know what? One of my first leadership. Let me tell you what. The leadership at this church doesn't fight over anything. Why? Because when I sign them up, I tell them, listen, if you, we're going to look, we'll learn a word. If you're contentious, I won't even ask you to be part of leadership if you're contentious. Why? Because, you know what I mean? You can't handle it. You can't. No, no, no. You disqualify yourself. Amen. I had a guy who left the church, got upset. You know what I mean? And you know what? And had a bunch of, you know what, snotty things to say about me. And I texted him back and I said, you know what? None of it was even true. I said, let me tell you what. I don't even ask anybody to be in any of our leadership roles till they've been in the church at least 2 years. Why? Because I'm looking. Amen. And because, here's why. We can't afford to have contentious leaders in this church. It costs too much. Amen. See, we need to act, we need to let this be our guide. Amen. Let me read it again. Let nothing, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you. See, who's each of you? What's Paul saying? Paul's saying everybody in the church. Amen. See, I'm talking about leaders, but I'm talking about this is for, Paul says this is for everybody, each of you. You know what that means? It means it doesn't make any difference what position you are. If you bring contentions to the church, you're bringing it into the church. And Paul says, no, guys, understand, everybody's bringing something to the church. Either you're bringing a spirit of love and joy and cooperation, or you're bringing an attitude. And Paul says, no, everybody was responsible for this. You know what? There's some churches, and the pastor's the only one who acts nice. There's some churches, even the pastor don't even act nice. Amen? No, no, that's not here. Amen? Tamara and I are going to act nice. Amen? Amen? But we're going to expect that you're going to act nice. Amen? You know what? When I first got here, I was like, "Hey guys, one of the first things I did is took the leadership board and I said, we used to meet on Saturday. I said, we're not meeting on Saturday anymore. Why not? Tell you why? Because I didn't tell them why. The truth is because you acting like a bunch of demons on Saturday. Amen." And I figured, well, here, you know what? Maybe, just maybe, you know what? We'll have our leadership board meetings after praise and worship. We used to have Wednesday prayer meeting and Bible study. And I said, you know what? We'll meet right after Bible study. I figured, you know what? Even these people might be godly after we pray. I recognize, hey, that might be a better shot. Amen. And they did better. Amen. Amen. And you know what? My job wasn't to criticize them. My job wasn't to speak the things that were as though they were. My job was to speak the things that were as they that weren't as though they were. See, our calling is to call people up, not to just say, "You an ugly dog. You always gonna be an ugly dog." Amen. Amen. I don't want to listen. You know what? And you know how many need some help? Amen. I don't want to be judged. I want to be better this year than I was last year. I don't want to go to church where they say, that's how you are and that's how you're going to stay. No, no, that's not how God does. But notice, all of us have to act this way. Do you see this? Let each of you, not look out, let each of you, that's everybody. Let each of you look, verse 4, let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. That's what Christ did. He looked out for you, not just himself. He put others before himself. Who, being the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal to God. Don't go the other way. Oh, I'm just so humble. I'm just so humble. I can't sing. I'm not a good singer. I'm not so humble. You know what I mean? Hey, you're called to sing. Stop saying you can't sing. Grab a mic and get up here and start doing what you're called to do. Is that right? How many know Ernie can sing better than most of us? Amen. All right. Well, I'm humble. No, just no big deal. Get up there and sing. Amen. Amen? Amen? You've been given a gift. Use that gift. Amen. See, how many know that's what the Bible said? Hey, he was the Son of God. He didn't find it. It wasn't. Listen, Paul said, "I am what I am. I'm an apostle." Don't feel like it's rude to tell people or to proclaim what you are. Amen. God gave that to you. Amen. I mean, you know, I've said that before. You know, ooh, you know, people flipping their hair, you know, all around. Check out my hair. You know what I mean? Hey, who do you think you got? Yeah, you got beautiful hair. Who do you think gave you that beautiful hair? Amen? Right? Okay. Are you learning something? Who, being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Taking the form of a bondservant. I don't know when we're going to start, but we're going to start having church work days. Remember church work days? We're going to start having church work day. What do you do at a church work day? It's really deep, okay? You come. That's the main thing. You come and work. Pastor, I never heard of that. Man, I never heard of that before. Everybody say, I come and I work. Okay, so what do? You come and you don't have a big attitude. Well, I don't tell you what, I think we ought to. No, you come and you come not only to work, but you come with your good attitude. You come with a spirit of humility. Amen. You come with a spirit of cooperation. You come in a spirit of saying, hey, how can I help? Does that make sense? Dr. Radke, one of my mentors, says, you know what, and it's not, listen, how many know you have some great ideas? Great. Some of the best ideas that are happening here at the church did not come from Tamara and myself. But Dr. Radke teaches, you have an idea, you drop it. Once. Everybody say one time. I think we should chop the tomatoes like this. Okay, thank you very much. I don't want to chop them like this. I want to chop them like this. I tell you what, we need to just chop them the other way. No. Take your sorry little chop this way out of here and... Amen? Why? Because that's contentious. Amen? Okay, but we're going to have work day. We're going to come and we're going to work and we're going to be cooperative and we're going to get a bunch of stuff done because three people aren't going to come. We're all going to come. Somebody say, we're all going to come. And to all come, you've got to clear some schedules, amen? And you've got to prioritize. You know what? I hope this place is packed for a couples conference. It should be. Every single person, if you're married, this is where you should be. Yeah, but we got that. Wait. I'm just asking, is your marriage so good that you can afford not to be here at a couples conference? Because let me tell you what, here, don't criticize me. Because my marriage ain't that good. You're saying you don't have, no, I have a great marriage. But nothing is more important. I mean, no, sometimes just because the ball's rolling doesn't mean the ball can't stop. See, one of the reasons I have a great marriage is because I continually invest in my marriage. You know what? Let me just tell you, couples, I love you so much. But if you think you're too busy to be at this couple or something is more important, just tell me what it is. I can't imagine. I can't imagine what's more important than that. Because even if you said, well, my family's more important than that. Listen, you want a good family? You have a good marriage. A good family is based on a good marriage. Amen. Okay. Verse 8. And being formed and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Obedient to the point of death. Somebody say obedient to the point of death. See, that is Christianity 101. If we would be obedient to do whatever God asks us to do, we would just see so many things happen in the body of Christ. Jesus was supernatural because he was obedient to the point of death. Well, I don't think God's asking me to die. Oh, he's asking you to die all the time. He's asking you to die every day. Amen? See, every day, when I get up in the morning and pray, I have to die to myself. I have to get up. You know what? I get up early in the morning. I get up 4:30 in the morning. You know what? I wake my son up. I make him his breakfast, and then I pray. And I have to die to myself because my flanges want to sleep in and hug the covers a bit. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. The best thing I do all day is what I do in the morning. See, it's a life from the pit of hell. You know what? I feel sorry for y'all who sleep in and wake up right before you have to go to work. Listen to me. Listen to me. I love you guys. I feel sorry for you.
Amen.
Because you're missing out on the best part of your day is to have God tell. You know what God tells me every morning? How much he loves me. I mean, it's all, when Tamara tells me she loves me, oh, it's so good. You know what's better than when Tamara tells me she loves me? When God tells me he loves me. Oh, it's so good. I mean, in order to walk in that, here's what the Bible says, that seed doesn't produce anything till it's put in the ground and killed. So you have to die to your flesh. Jesus died to his flesh. You know what? Well, we'll see it in a minute. Look. Therefore, God also, verse 9, therefore God was also highly exalted himself and given him, who? Jesus. The name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth. Everyone's going to bow to Jesus. Why? Here's why. Because he humbled himself to the point of death. If you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. But listen, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. The reason why Jesus' name is above every other name is because there is no one who has sown so bountifully than Jesus. That's why. Connect the dots. Maybe your life isn't what it should be because I'm not trying to be negative, but I want to get you what we taught, I think 3 weeks ago, self-inspection. Maybe your life is less than it could be, not because you couldn't have a great life, but because your life is just too focused on yourself. If you lose your life, if you take your life, you're going to lose your life. If you give your life away, you're going to find an abundance that you never walked in before. Why was Apple the first company to reach $1 trillion in value? Why was Apple the first company to reach $1 trillion in value? Do you know why? Because there had been no other company at that point of time on this earth that had served so many people so well. I don't like Apple. That's not the point. The point is, up to that point, there had been no other company. See, I'm telling you, this principle works. If you serve people, you're going to be great. That's what Jesus said. And the reason why we're the first, who's the second company to reach a trillion dollars? What? Annabelle? Annabelle? Do they make little dolls? I never heard of that company. You're right, Amazon. Amazon. Why are they such a awesome company? Rich, because they serve, man. How many ever had somebody something shipped to you by what's the company called? Annabelle? Oh, Amazon. Okay, Amazon. How many ever got something from Amazon? Raise your hand if you got something from Amazon. See that? Why? They're serving you. How many know it's convenient? You know what I mean? Man, so convenient. Free shipping, fast, boom, you don't got to go to the store. It's usually cheaper. Yeah. kidding me? See, well, that principle works. The reason why Jesus' name is above every other name is because everybody's sin was upon him. There's nobody who's even come close to serving the way he serves. But Paul says, that's how you ought to think. The Bible says, in the last days, men will become lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. We need to be, listen, as Christians, we need to be countercultural. These people who think they're rebelling, they're not rebelling. They're going the way to destruction. Amen. No, we are rebelling. Amen. We love others, not as they treat us, but how we want to be treated. Amen. You know, we forgive others. We love our enemies. You talk about countercultural. We are countercultural. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen?
And that's how God was. He was our example. That's how we're to act. Come on, somebody. I'm feeling a Pentecostal right now. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, that's who we are. We don't act like them. We act different. We serve other people. We love other people. Amen. 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 That's how we act. See, we're different. We're not like them. We can't afford to be like them. You know, yeah, but my parents were. You can't afford to be like your parents. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not looking around. I'm just asking. How many parents were divorced? How many had parents who ended up, raise your hand real high, parents who, see, we can't afford to be like them. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We can't afford to be like them. We need to show our kids, you know what, that we love each other. Amen.
Yeah.
Even when we're mad at each other. We're committed to each other. See, that's different. How many know that's different? Countercultural. Cultural says, you know what? What have you done for me? You know what I mean? Lately. You know, if you don't keep up, see, man, I'm out there. I'm always looking for the better person. That's ridiculous. That's so ungodly. I don't want that. You know, and with the same measure you have measured out, that's how it's going to be measured back to you. So you know what? You slip out the back for, you know what, the new model. You know, you think, and let me just tell you, the new model isn't any different than the old model. Amen?
That's right.
Yeah. The grass is not greener on the other side. But you're just setting yourself up for failure. Amen? And you just keep on going around the mountain until you figure it out. Amen? Therefore, also, verse 9, therefore God, who has also exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that name that Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every in heaven and on earth and those underneath earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, now let's get back to you. That's what he's saying. Therefore, my beloved, because of all this which Jesus did, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but also, here there's a point there. What's Paul doing right? He does it all the time. As you have always obeyed. Come on, Paul. People haven't always obeyed. What's he doing? He's speaking to their spirit. How many of your spirit always wants to obey? Learn to speak to people's spirit. Amen. A lot of times the reason why we just see, you know, I teach this in level 3. We're going to have Academy of Righteousness coming up soon. And I encourage every single one of you, get in Academy of Righteousness. Do whatever it takes. It'll change your life. And if you haven't been in Academy of Righteousness, maybe I don't know what level. We're going to definitely do a level 1, and I don't know whether we're going to do 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't know what other level we're going to do. But whatever level that we do, if you haven't done that level, get into it. And remember, you haven't been in it a long time. Maybe you need to get back into Academy of Righteousness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But what's he doing? He's speaking. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, he's speaking. Level 3, I teach how you need to speak to the Spirit. Some of you parents, you know what? You're seeing your kids and you see their carnal nature. And I'm not saying that you don't need to be disciplined, but you speak to their spirit. Call them up. Don't call them on what you see. Amen? I didn't say don't discipline them. Love sometimes is tough. But never proclaim that who they are is what they're acting like. Don't say that. Don't curse your own kids. Paul, do you see what Paul's doing? He's saying, as you always have obeyed. What's he doing? He's speaking to the Spirit. As not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation by fear and trembling. Look at this. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do what is good, his good pleasure. What's his good pleasure? That you would humble yourself and treat others better than yourself. That's what he's talking about. That's all he's talking about. He's telling you how to act, treat others better than yourself, care about them, their interests, more than yours. Then he gives you the example of Jesus. Then he goes back and says, that's how you ought to act. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do what is his good pleasure. What's his good pleasure? That you would care about others more than yourself. Watch this. Do all things without complaining or disputing. Are you catching this? Don't act kind and then complain about the fact that you got to be nice. How many of God's word is so good? Why? Because it's able to pierce through the bone and the mire and all the intention of your heart. You're acting good, but you're complaining, you know what, because you got to act good. Don't complain about it. Do all things without complaining. We're all things he's talking about. Treating others sweet. Don't be irritated. How many know we do this sometimes? We get mad because we got to act nice. Stop complaining about you having to act nice. Watch this. Without complaining or disputing. Listen. Listen. All eyes up here. There's no question in this. Christians act like Jesus. There's no disputes. It's how it is. It's, listen, one accord. We're all in the same mind. We act like Jesus. We're nice. What's the sermon title? I'll type it. Be nice. Amen. No disputing, no complaining. That's how we ought to act. That you might become blameless and harmless. Oh, that's so good. Now watch. Harmless. You know what you're doing? You know what he's saying? Here's what you're doing. Now you're becoming useful. You know what? Yesterday I watched a little of the confirmation of the Brett Kavanaugh. Did any of you watch any of this? And if you don't know who he is, he might be the next Supreme Court justice. And what I loved about, you know what I loved about it? I don't know who this guy is, but three people introduced him. And one of the people that introduced him is, if you look at it as far as politics or ideology, is like 100% opposite of his politics. 100% opposite. But I love what she said about Brett Kavanaugh. She just said, this is one of the nicest, sweetest, kindest people that I know. And the other two people that spoke about him said, I don't really want to talk about what he thinks and what he's for and what he's against. What I want you guys to know is this guy is one of the sweetest, nicest, kindest, thoughtful men that I know. I was on my bed watching it, and tears started just running down my, you know what I mean? I'm like, and Tamara was doing her makeup. I was like, oh, you know, I don't want her to know I'm crying over, you know what, a confirmation of the, you know what I mean? I started sniffling. It was like, what are you do? What's going on here? Let me tell you what's going on here. You know what? There's something inside me that is just tender to someone who other people, even people who completely disagree with his politics, know him as a person. You know, that's how we ought to be. You know what the Bible says? That you know what leads people to repentance? The love of God. It's not about being right. You know, we get so, listen, in this happens all the time. I said this in my preparation. I thought, oh man, this is so good. I can't forget this. You know, we spend, you know what I mean? We spend, you know what? George, Joanne, how long did you guys date before you got married? What?
2 years.
Okay. How long did you guys date before you got married?
About a year and a half.
Okay, good. Good. How long did you date your wife? 7 years. Okay, before you got married? Okay. How long did you guys date before you got married? Okay. So you're spending all this time, and whether it's 2 years or 3 years or 7 years or whatever it is, man, you're spending all this time. And in that point in time, you're like, oh, here's what happens. You love that they're different than you. You just love, you know, he's so spontaneous. I love him. He's so spontaneous. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You know, when me and my wife were dating, I loved her being able to, it was a gift. And you know what? She snuck into my little bachelor place. And she knew I was going to be at Bible college all day. She snuck into my bachelor place, and she decorated my bathroom. I left, and you know what? I just, you know, whatever. I had, you know what? The toothpaste was sitting right there, and the toothbrush was sitting on the, you know what I mean? Nothing. You know what I mean? Just, you know what I mean? I came back, and I tell you what, it was blue this and cushions here and, you know, towels there. And it was beautiful, you know, I mean, sea otters and all kind, you know what I mean? What are the seahorses? It was awesome. Oh, it was like, woo. How many know I liked that then? Amen. Amen. But then we got married, you know what I mean? We got married, and you know what? She's spending money. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, does everything have to match? I didn't. You know what I mean? Here's my point. We, you know what? When we're dating, we appreciate someone's difference. We love them. We love that. Listen, Jimmy Evans, I've taught you this before, but Jimmy Evans teaches this. That is not on accident. That is not an accident. That's on purpose. And then we get married, and then we spend, you know what, all the rest of our life trying to get them to be like us. Listen, let's just get it in your minds. They're not like you. It's not their design to be like you. They ain't gonna be like you. One of the things that Eckrich says over and over again as he's teaching pink and blue and pink and blue and pink and blue, he says, you know what? Not wrong, just different. I don't know what happens, but after we say, you know what, I do for whatever reason, then we think that we're right about everything. And let me just tell you, you're not right about everything. And we just want to kung fu this. And God's saying to us, no, that's not the calling on our life. It's not the calling on our life in our marriage. It's not even the calling on our life with our kids. Amen? Or my kids, they're all different than me. And I've got to recognize that. Amen. That you might become blameless and harmless. There is something, what's the opposite of harmless? Harmful. There's something that is very harmful as you walk around thinking that your opinions are always right. There's something that we have in all of us that we think we're right about most, I didn't say everything, because I'm trying to get you to see it. Most everything. You don't have to raise your hand, but if you were real honest, most of you think that you're right about almost everything. And what I'm saying to you is, that is very harmful. If you humble out and recognize that everybody is different. Who do you think made everybody different? God made everybody different. You think it's just, how many people are in this world? 8 billion now? You know, there's not one thumbprint that is the same. You know what kind of creativity that takes? You know, there's no snowflake alike. Have you ever seen the detail? Not one snowflake ever. You know, you're talking about the most creative, his creativity is unbelievable. And you know what? He likes us that way. So when we come in church and you're different than him and he's different than him and you're different than her and she's different than she is and we're all different, you know what? And all of us need to have an attitude of Jesus Christ to say God made us that way and we like everybody being different. Amen. Not an attitude of superiority. And that place is a place where the Bible says, let me tell you what, you're blameless. God looks at you and says, you are mucho el perfecto. And then he says, let me tell you what, you're harmless. Opposite of harmless is harmless is harmful. You're not harmful anymore. You are a blessing to other people. Children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Watch this. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. See, others will look at you. That's what happened as I was watching these confirmations of Brent Kavanaugh. I was just... I saw these people who didn't want to talk about his politics. They just wanted to talk about what an awesome dad he was. They're talking about his daughter. And I see him, and he's got his wife next to him, and then his youngest daughter, and then his oldest daughter. And I see him, and they're talking about his daughter, and they won their championship in softball, of which he was the softball coach. And I saw him look over and just this beaming of pride that he had about his daughter. And I was just in tears. Why? Here's why. Because I'm watching this guy's light shine in this perversion of a world. You know one of the reasons you say whatever you want to say. You know one of the reasons why I love Joel Osteen? Do you want one of the reasons I love Joel Osteen? Because he gets so much jive talking about you. And he just smiles. He just won't. He's just like, well, I don't know. They just. He will not get in the mud with them.
And he is a great example. Well, I love you. I don't really care if you don't like him. I love him. I love him. Because with all the criticism he gets, I've never, not one time, heard him say a nasty word about anybody. And you can get on the internet. The stuff that's said about him is unbelievable. Just so vicious. Here. From Christians. From people who call themselves Christians. See, can we become... Here, I said all that to get to this point. Here's what I want. I want us to be shining lights in this crazy world. Here's why. Because they'll see you and they'll say, man, I don't know. I just want to be like you. And what they're really saying is, I just want to be like Jesus. And you'll say, well, let me tell you what. You really don't want to be like me, but you want to be like Jesus, who's my best friend. And that's why Paul at the beginning of this says, let me tell you what. I'm begging you, if there is anything in you, do this. You be sweet like Jesus is sweet. You stop thinking you're always right. You stop thinking your way is always the right way. You recognize God made all kinds of different people. And just because they talk different than you, or walk different than you, or like a different baseball team than you like, you know what, or wear their hair different than you. Hey, who cares? Did you learn something? Father, I pray that we would be a church that is just straight up an example to other people. And I thank you that we are. And I thank you that we love each other. If we can't love each other, then how in the world are we going to love the lost? So let us begin with each other. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.